Bezras Hashem Yisbarach, today's daf is Tesvav in Maseches Yevamos. It is the 817th daf in Shas. Our daf is going to continue discussing machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, a seminal machlokis in regards to Hilchos Yibum. And then the rest of the daf will continue discussing other examples of machlokios between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And in the end of the daf on Tezvav Mebeis, we'll get back to the actual machlokis in regards to Tzara. A little bit of background. On yesterday's daf, halfway through Yudalad Mebeis, the Gemara describes something beautifully. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Zechariah Periches, Ha'emes v'ha'sholom oyavoy, that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, despite their real disagreements that had implications in regards to Mamzerus, which we will outline in a moment, nevertheless there was peace that reigned between them, to the point that even though, according to Beis Shammai, there were times that Beis Shammai wanted a certain marriage to take place, while Beis Hillel will hold that that marriage would create Mamzerus, nevertheless, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai continued to intermarry between them, despite the fact that there were some of the offspring of Beis Shammai that were Mamzerim. The Gemara tells us because they would inform each other. This is the position of Rabbi Shimon that we had at the end of Yudalad Mebeis, that they would inform each other of the status of every particular boy or girl that Beis Hillel would marry, and they would trust Beis Shammai because there was Emes v'Shalom Avo that reigned between them. The actual case comes up in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, where we had a machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, whether the tzara of an erva is mutter and has a mitzvah, according to Beis Shammai, to do yibum. According to Beis Shammai, there's a mitzvah. Of course, we know the position of Beis Hillel that we've been learning from the beginning until Daf Yud Gimel was assuming that tzara serva is, of course, asur. If that is so, if a tzara serva is asur, so then the original Isur of Eishes Ach remains, and the offspring would be a Mamzer. So we're going to pick up with this fascinating Machlokis on Yud Dalet Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, where the Gemara is going to bring a Tashma about an issue that goes back to the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. If you take a look, three lines to the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, we had a Machlokis between Rav and Shmuel, whether Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion in practice or not. We assumed at the end of Yudalad Mebeis that Beis Shammai did follow their practice, and now the Gemara has another proof. Hence, the Gemara introduced the idea that despite the fact that they followed their practice and had the Tzara marry the Yavam, which according to Beis Hillel would create Mamzerim, nevertheless, Hemes Vashalom Avo reigned. Tashma, come in here, I'll bring you a proof that Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion practically. Dam Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, Hei Halacha Zu Revachas B'Yisrael. How are we going to handle this large halacha in Klal Yisrael? This machlokas, whether it's Tzara has a mitzvah of Yibum or the Yisra of Yibum that produces Mamzeris. Nasik Yidivrei Beis Shammai, if we're going to follow Beis Shammai and the Tzara is going to do Yibum, Havlad Mamzer, Lidivrei Beis Hillel. Mamzer will be a The fly will be a mamzer, the offspring will be a mamzer. When the tzara goes and marries the yavam, which is asur to him, because that's eishes ach. Nasek kedivrei Beis Hillel, if we're going to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel. And what we're going to do is say that the tzara is exempt from yibum and chalitza. So then, according to Beis Shammai, you will have a problem. Havlad pogum udivrei Shammai. Then any offspring from this tzara is considered a pogum. Why? Because if you don't do chalitza, any offspring is a pogum. And Rashi explains, if it would be the offspring would be a kohen, it would be pasul l'kahuna. Rashi spells out, we've been trying to do the Rashi, so let's take a look at Rashi. Avlad pogum divrei Beis Shammai d'maya kohen, pasul l'kahuna. V'af agav d'bnei chai v'lavim k'sherim l'kol. There is a iser lav for a shomeres yavam, someone who needs to do yibum according to Beis Shammai, to get married to somebody else without chalitza. So even though the offspring are kosher, they're called chalolim eim leini kahuna, to asa b'kav l'chomer me'amana l'kohen gadol kamam b'shmeitzin. Later on in today's daf, we're going to learn that out, that any iser lav is going to be asur to a kohen. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri had a solution. Continues the Gemara in the last line, Yudalad Beis Hillel, divrei Beis Shammai vo nisakin lehen letzaros. You know what we should do? According to Beis Shammai, let's solve the problem of the tzaros. Shiucholtzos v'lo misyamos. That they should do chalitza and not yibum. In other words, that a Beis Hillel would not have a problem if you do a ceremonious chalitza. And according to Beis Shammai, which of course is not necessary according to Beis Hillel because she's aser to the Yavam and she's automatically mutter l'shuk, that sara of the erva. But according to Beis Shammai, there's a requirement of chalitza. So have them do chalitza. Says Rashi on the first line, Tezvav min Aleph, Yinas l'shuk, Behech shel divrei hakol. And then they'll be able to get married to anybody according to everybody, according to all opinions. However, they tried to do this, but they didn't have enough time to decide whether to follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The time, the moment of it, literally became treif. In other words, they had run out of time because people had already, from Beis Shammai, had started to doing Yibum, and therefore time, the passage of time, made the idea treif, it was no longer viable. Amalei Reb Shimon Gamliel, Ma Nasalem Letzaras Harishonos, Me'ata. What are we going to do, said Reb Shimon Gamliel? There were some who already did Yibum, and the children of Mamzerim. Iyam Be'b Reb Shema Asu, says the Gemara. We now prove it must be that they actually did it. If you're going to say they did it, Hainu Dekamer Ma'nasa. That's Reb Shimon Gamliel said, what are we going to do? Eliyamet Lo Asu. But if you're going to say this was only theoretical in Beis Shammai, remember our Tashma was to prove that's not just theoretical, that was practical. Ma'nasa. What does Reb Shimon Gamliel mean when he says, what are we going to do now? Of course, the solution the Gemara in Yudalat Amabe said was that what they did was they made sure Emes V'Shalom O'Avo, and they informed each other. Rav Nachman Yitzchak feels that this is not a strong raya. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, lo nitzrucha el letzara atzma. Rav Nachman Yitzchak has an entirely different read on this Tosefta Rav Yochanan ben Uri. And he reads it as follows. Lo nitzrucha el letzara atzma. We're only talking about the case of the tzara itself without children who married into the shuk. Says Rashi, let's take a look at Rashi. We're not talking about a tzara that married the Yavam, but rather we're talking about tzara that married into the Shuk. And what was our question? These tzaros that follow Beis Hillel, in order to satisfy Beis Shammai's position, what should we do? Lichlitzu. If we're going to follow the suggestion of doing chalitza, says Reb Shimon Gamliel, like Reb Yochanan ben Uri suggests, mimasya givrayu, then men are not going to want to marry them. Hence, Reb Shimon Gamliel was critical of doing chalitza because it will seem to some people that it is tainted and will chase them away. So it should be a clear cut din. This tzara is entirely mutter l'shuk. Period, no sveikas, no chalitzas, and this. So that was the response of Rav Shimon Gamliel. Says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, if you read the Brice like that, then in such a case, there's no proof to the position of Rav on the top of Yudalit Amid Aleph that says, the opinion of Shmuel. Shmuel is the one who said that they did it, that they actually followed the position, the family of Beis Shammai, followed the position of Beis Shammai. Rather, it was something that was discussed in regards to solving the position of Beis Shammai, but without ever having a tzara doing yibum. V'chitem, and if you're going to respond to Reb Shimon Gamliel's idea, that problem of mius l'ma'asan, that to have them do it despite the fact that they'll become mius to men, d'rachel d'archeinu amichol nesiv oseh shalom, what a beautiful expression from Mishle that the Gemara uses in halacha, and that is that since the ways of Torah are pleasant, it can't be that as a suffolk we're going to make an uncomfortable condition and have these women do chalitza to be choshesh v'shitas of Beis Shammai. The ways of the Torah are peaceful, and that cannot be done. Interestingly, Tosas on the Beis Amid Aleph also uses this klal from Mishle, this such important rule of Derecha Darchei Noam, also to describe other halachos and anomalies in Hilchos Yibum on the bottom of Beis Amid Aleph. The Gemara continues, Tashma Adam Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. And we're going to see that there are two very different ways to understand Rabbi Tarfon's approach to this issue. Rabbi Tarfon said, Te'avni mosai tovait saras habas liyodi. Rabbi Tarfon had a daughter who was married to his brother. His brother also had another wife, which was the Tzaras Habas. Says Rabbi Tarfon, I'm looking forward to the moment that I can marry the Tzara of my daughter. So what do you see? That Rabbi Tarfon, as a Talmud of Beis Shammai, was going to follow the position of Beis Shammai, violate the rule of Beis Hillel, that a Tzara has an Isra Eishasach, and marry her. Says the Gemara, Eima, no, maybe Rabbi Tarfon made something else. Va'asiena, that I will marry her off, explains Rashi, marry her off to the Shuk. Let's see all the Rashis. Rabbi Tarfon, me tell me, the Beis Shammai, in the first narrow line, Masai Tavot Tzara Sabas, Me'achi Liyadi, when will I be able to marry the Tzara Sabas? I have a little bit of a question. He was looking forward to his brother dying without children. It's a little bit strange. Vasa'ena, Ayabim Osa Kidivre Beis Shammai, I will do Yibum. Like Beis Shammai, that was the Havamina of the Gemara. No, if you change the word with one tiny letter, the Yud, the Pintala Yud, and you put it between the Sin and the Ayin, it would mean something different, says Rashi. Vasiena Lishuk, and I'll marry her to the Shuk Kidivre Beis Hillel, following the opinion of Beis Hillel. So he was being Messiah, he was looking forward to the moment that he could follow Beis Hillel, even though he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. Asks Gemara, Vata Avni Kamar, says that he was desiring it. Why would that be used if he's going to follow the opinion of Beis Hillel? If he's going to marry her, so then I can understand. Or if he's going to be able to follow the opinion of his Rebbe, then maybe it makes sense to Avni. But why that he's desiring to fill the position of Beis Hillel, even if their Beis Shammai is stuck and they have to follow Beis Hillel? But nevertheless, to say Te'avni is a strange expression, answers the Gemara, La'fuki mid Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. No, he was looking forward to showing that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri's approach was not correct. Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri's approach was to require Chalitza to fulfill the opinion of Beis Shammai. Rabbi Tarfon was looking forward to the fact that we don't follow this Eitzah of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, and we follow Beis Hillel entirely. Tashma, another attempted proof that Beis Shammai actually followed their custom. Maisa bebito shel Rabbi Gamliel. There was a story with the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel, Shais Nesua, La'aba, Achiv, Umeis, Belov, Banim. Rabbi Gamliel had a brother, similar type of case, who died without children, who was married to Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. V'yibim Rabbi Gamliel, Sarasa, Rabbi Gamliel did Yibum with the Tzara. So we see Rabbi Gamliel followed in practice the position of Beis Shammai. Asks the Gemara, well, that doesn't seem to add up. V'tizbara, Rabbi Gamliel being Talmidei Beis Shammai, was Rabbi Gamliel one of the Talmidim of Beis Shammai? Rashi explains the strength of the question. Back into Rashi, Talmidei Beis Shammai, seven lines into the narrow. Bitmiya, V'alot min b'nei bonim shel Hillelu. Rabbi Gamliel was the students of one of the descendants of Hillel. Remember, the Nasi, Nasius went through Hillel. Question mark. Elishanim bito shereb gamliel da islandus havoi. No, there was different because his daughter was an islandus, and we learn the Mishnah says Rashi on Beis Amibes, islandus haisa utnan oishinimsa islandus tsarosan mutaros, and we learn the Mishnah on Beis Amibes that the tsar of an islandus is mutar. Asks the Gemara, but in this brisa it seems that that was a debate. And the Reisha, the Brisa, doesn't hold this way. The fact that the Seifa says that the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel was an islandist, Michlal, it would seem the Tanakama Asavar, that the first opinion that we're quoting from this Brisa of Maisa Bebito Shereb Gamliel assumes Lav islandist Haisa. Doesn't assume that she was an islandist. Nevertheless, Rabbi Gamliel did Yibum with the Tzar, which seems to be that he's following the position of Beis Shammai. Answers the Gemara, no, there was another issue between the Reish and the Seifa. Hikir ba velo hikir ba ika beinayu. The difference between them is the case of hikir ba velo hikir ba. We've mentioned in the past, for example, on the bottom of Yubeis Amid Aleph, that there's a difference of whether the husband is aware. Rashi spells this out two lines from the bottom of Yud Beis Amid Aleph. When the husband is aware when his wife is an islandess, when he marries her or not. The only time we say that there is a mekach tos on a marriage, when it turns out that she's not, doesn't have full biological features of a woman, is if he was lo hikar ba, he didn't know. But if he knew about it, so then in such a case, then it's not the same mekach tos. So now with that in mind, let's go into Rashi, 10 lines into narrow, to explain the price of hikar of Rabbi Gamliel with Hikarba and Lo Hikarba. Hachi Garcin, Hikarba, Velo Hikarba, Yikabinah, says Rashi, Velo Garcin and Ella, L'tanakama dafke d'lo hikirba. The Tanakama was talking about where he wasn't aware that she was an Isles. Hu dav mekachtos. Avul hikirba. But if he was aware, tzaras asura, so then the tzara would be prohibited. Because then he chose to marry her, and then the halach is that the tzara is asur. Ulacherim, and the position of acherim, afil hikirba muteres, that even if he's aware of it, there still is an isra of tzara islandess. In other words, there is a machlokis, whether the ptur tzara islandess only applies by lo hikirba, where there's the mekachtos, or it applies even with hikirba as well. Or else I could explain the case of Rabbi Gamliel, was kines l'bsof giresh ikabeinayu. Rashi explains in the end of Dibar Maschil Kines that we're going to assume that the daughter of Rabbi Gamliel was an islandess. However, the differences between the two opinions in the Brisa revolves around the following. Now let's look at the beginning of Rashi Kines. L'tanakam, according to Tanakam, idesh giresh achiv esbito, if his brother divorced Rebbe Gamliel's daughter, Kodem Misa, prior to his death, prior to the brother of Rebbe Gamliel's death, Afal Pisha Kvar Kines Hanachris, even though he already married a Tzara, Vayitzara Zoalzu, Mutaras, nevertheless, the Tzara is going to be Mutar according to Rebbe Gamliel, even though Tzara's Islandess is normally Asur. Why? Because in the end, he divorced Rabbi Gamliel's daughter. Ulacherim. However, the position of the Braisa, of the Seifa, will be since there was a time in which the Tzara was a Tzara to Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, before the divorce, Derva Asura, then she's going to be Asur. So that's what Gemara means. Ibai same akinis of self girishi kabinai. Ibai same, or else you could learn that the Rashi and the Sefer are talking about something else. Yesh tnai bebia. This is a fascinating case, ikabinai, that there is going to be a machlokis of whether there could be a condition in the bia. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Hakonis ishal tnai. If a man marries a woman on a condition, she'enala mumin onidarim. The condition is that she doesn't have any hidden blemishes or she hasn't taken on any Nidarim, any oath. Sometimes if she takes up an oath, that can make the husband's wife difficult that she now has to keep this oath. According to Tanakam, you can make such a tnai. And that was the case over here. There was a condition that had existed with Rabbi Gamliel's daughter, and it turns out that she had taken an oath. And therefore, the condition was that the marriage didn't work. And therefore, the daughter of Rebbe Gamliel was not the wife of Rebbe Gamliel's brother. And then the tzara will be mutter to Rebbe Gamliel. And the seifa holds the ain tnai mol bebia, that you cannot make a condition vis-a-vis bia. Since there was bia, then there was a mechila done. And this is a sugya on daf ayin gimel in ksubis. Ain other mosa bi loso bi laznus. The only reason there would be an issue is whether she was an islandess. Okay, so these are the different explanations of the case of Bito Sherb Gamliel. Clearly, Bito Sherb Gamliel, the Gemara says, is not being choshesh for Shitas Beishamai, but rather there are other explanations that Rabbi Gamliel's daughter was an islandess, and we could explain the fact that the Reisha and the Seifa seem to be repetitious if we're going to assume that even according to Reisha, she was an islandess by suggesting either that dependent, the Reish and the Seif was differentiating between Hikirba and Velo Hikirba, or Kines Lusav Giresh, or Yesh Tanai Babia was the difference between the Reisha and the Seif, as we elaborated earlier. The Gemara asks the following question. Masiv Rav Misharshia. Rav Misharshia asks the following kasha. And those who say that Beishamai did not follow their opinion in practice. Maisa Rabbi Akiva, the story of Rabbi Akiva, this appears in Erev and Dav Zayin Rosh Hashanah Yudalid. Shalikate Esrog Be'echad Beshvat. That he picked an Esrog on the first of Shvat. Of course, we know there's machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. What is the new year for fruits? Is it the first of Shvat, or is it the 15th of Shvat? So this Esrog, now that Rabbi Akiva picked on the first of Shvat, is going to be dependent on a machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So what did Rabbi Akiva do? He was choshesh for both opinions. V'nog abab shtei isurin. So let's say it was in the second year, Rashi learns, going into the third year. So in the second year, you have Maaser Sheni. So according to Beis Hillel, you would have to do Maaser Sheni. However, according to Beis Shammai, the it's the third year, and therefore it requires Maiserani. Let's take a look and see that inside Rashi. Becha b'shvat v'shana shniya nichnesus l'shishis haisa v'nog ba shnei yisurin Maiser sheni ki beis hillel d'amri tu b'shvat roshan l'ilana. So according to beis hillel, still part of the second year, because it hasn't reached the third year until tu b'shvat. And this was on the first of Shvat, v'akati shnei, and it's still part of the second year. U'maiser ani ki beis shamai, but it's already the third year according to beis shamai. So that's what Rabbi Akiva did. What do we see? Also, that they were practically following the opinion of Beis Shammai. Now, notice over here, the Gemara is going to and applying other machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, not only in regards to Yibum. Now we're discussing whether people followed other positions of Beis Shammai, for example, Rosh Hashanah Lilanos. So what do we see? They did do it. Answers the Gemara. No, maybe you can't bring a raya from Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Gomre. Rabbi Akiva learned up the sugis istapikle, and he was mesupak of how one should follow. Velo yada, but his confusion was not which one was correct, but his confusion was what was Beis Hillel's position. I Beis Hillel becha b'shvat amur, o b'tes shvat amur. He was mesupak what actually Beis Hillel's held. But of course, he would not follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. No one followed the opinion of Beis Shammai, the Gemara argues in this Tachia. What about another proof? Masan Marzutra. Marzutra had the following raya. We know the famous case in Sukkah. Maisav Yolda Kaloso Shol Shammai. Zokin Pichis Amasiv Yisike Chagabe Mita B'Shvil Katan. Beis Shammai held that a katan, already when he's born, is Chayiv in Sukkah. And we know the daughter-in-law of Beis Shammai, they opened up a hole in the roof above her when she gave birth, in order that the baby should be Mikayim Mitzvah Sukkah. Shmamina Asu. So we see from there that they did follow Beis Shammai. And says the Gemara, Hasam Ara Omer Lafushi Avir Kavod. No, there was no problem of doing that because people just think that she wanted more air. Now notice this teretz of the Gemara is different than the one in regards to Rabbi Akiva, where worse comes to worse, according to Beis Hillel, she wasn't Chayiv, but they opened up the roof. And the Gemara also suggests in the Teretz that there wasn't even a confusion about what people would see of whether we're following Beis Shammai or not. However, Tosfos Liber Maskil Gomri, Yistapikle leaves us with an important clout. Based on the Gemara in Erev and Andav Zayin, Rosh Hashanah Yudalid, the Gemara says that someone who follows the Chumrah of both positions is described as a Pasuk in Koheles, Haksil B'choshech Holech, going in darkness. In other words, you have to choose, the Gemara says, whose opinion you're going to follow. Obviously, this has very big implications in terms of halacha lemaisa, when sometimes people are choshesh for all of the positions. From this Gemara, it would seem that at least vis-a-vis machlokias between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, you can't do chumre demar v'chumre demar. That's what Tosis points out. Could have been another answer in regards to why it can't be that Rabbi Akiva was being choshesh for both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. That is definitely a great nominee for the halacha from the daily daf. The Gemara now continues, Masa Marzutra, another Kasha Marzutra, whether Beis Shammai actually followed their opinion. Before we go on, I just want to explain a drop more about the previous teretz about Marzutra, and that is, the Gemara said, Lafushi ar avir ka'ovid. Now, remember, the reason why this is such a great teretz is because the whole issue of following both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, or even Beis Shammai following Beis Shammai, is the problem of V'lo Sisko Dudu, that the Gemara raised on Daf Yud Dalet, where the Gemara pointed out, if you're going to have some people following Beis Shammai, some people following Beis Hillel, it'll appear like two Torahs. However, over here, where you could just reinterpret it as Afushe Avir Kavid, so then there's no Chshash of the Isser of Lo Sisko Dudu. So that's what the Gemara's Teretz is over here in regards to Marzutra's first question. Now Marzutra's second question. Maisa Bishokis Yehu Shehaisa B'Yerushalayim. There was a stone receptacle that captured water that was coming out of a mountain in Yerushalayim, which was known as Shokas Yehu, v'isa nekuva lemikva, and it was open to a mikvah. There was a hole that attached the water to the mikvah. And of course, we know that in Hilchos Mikvos, that if you have hashaka, if the water kisses of mikvah water, kisses other water, you could be tovel in that other water as well, provided that it's the size of Shifoferes Hanot. that it's the size of a reed that is going to come up later on the Gemara. V'chol tar shay b'Yerushalayim nasa al gabo. And when they would be metayer, utensils that become defiled, they did in this mikvah. V'sholchu beishamai v'yirchivua. And beishamai expanded the hole between the shokes of Yehu and the mikvah. Because Beis Shammai was of the opinion that it's not enough to have a shifoferes hanod, that expression that I introduce is based on Mishnayos later on, that we're about to quote, and the opinion that we follow the halacha, but Beis Shammai did not follow that. Beis Shammai said that the halacha is that it's not enough that it be attached, that the water kiss through a hole the size of shifoferes hanod. The majority of the wall has to be open. Utznan, and we learned, Irev mikvos, the way in which a mikvah is considered attached to other waters. We learn mikvos, perek vav, mishnah zayin, kishoferes hanod ba'ovya. It needs to have the thickness of a shoferes hanod ubichalala, and in the hole itself. Kishte etzbos, in other words, the wall needs to be 2 etzbos thick, and the hole has to be 2 etzbos thick. Vichozeres limikoma, that the fingers will be able to move around in the hole. That's how Rashi explains in the Ramasla HaChozros Limekoman. So Shmamine, what do we see? That when it came to Beis Shammai's positions, they carried through on it. Asu, they did do it. Answers the Gemara, Hasam Hara Omer Lafushe Mayu Dekavi. People will think it's not because of the Halacha Beis Shammai. There isn't the problem of it appearing as if there's 2 Torahs, but rather they did it so that more water will come in. That's how Rashi points out the point of Shtei Taras that we made earlier. Rashi says on the top line, it says, Vav and Bezer, Omer, V'lo Domi L'Shtei Taras. Avol Heicha De Domi L'Agudas Agudas Lo Asu Beis Shammai Kedivrein. Beis Shammai is careful that it shouldn't appear as if there were 2 Taras. Tashma, the Gemara attempts another proof. De Omar Rebbe Lazar B'Reb Tzada. We have another instance where it seems that they follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. Rabbi Lazar ben Tzadok says, "Kishu Yisi Lama Teir Eitz Rabbi Yochanan Hacharani." When I was learning Teir Eitz Rabbi Yochanan Hacharani, Reisi Shaya Oichel Pascha Reva B'Melach B'Shnei B'Tzuras, but he was eating dry bread in a time of famine. Basava Adatias Abba, I went and I told my father Rabbi Tzadok. Amarli, he said to me, "Holach Lo Zaysim, bring him some olives." V'Lachti Lo, and I brought him the olives. Raw son Shein Lachin, he saw that they were moist. Amarli, he made an excuse why he didn't want to eat them. Ein ani ochel zeisim, I don't eat olives. Basi v'adati l'abba, I came and I told my father. Amarli, he said to him, Lech v'amarlo, go and tell them, Chavis nekuva haisa, that it was from a barrel that had a hole in it. What's the issue over here? Let's take a look at Rashi, second Rashi from the top. Shein Lachin, v'huchshiru l'kabel tumah. Since they were moist, then they were susceptible to accepting tumah. U'klicheres tameh agabe amaretz. And a klicheres becomes tameh from an amaretz. V'shema noga bigava chavis. Maybe an amaretz touched the outside of the barrel where this olive came from. U'tmeh midrabanan v'timasim. And he made it tameh midrabanan. So Reb Tzadok sends back chavis aysenekuva mishuleha, that in the back of the barrel there was a hole aysenekuva kedei sheyatzei mashke azov min azeisen luchutz, in order that the moisture from the olive should go out. V'kivan goli daite delo nichalebe lo mechasher. Fascinating idea. Since he makes the hole in it, so he's goli daite that he doesn't want the water, and that's going to be enough to preempt any type of hechsher, argues Rabbi Tzadok, and therefore Rabbi Tzadok is telling Rabbi Lazar's son to say Rabbi Yochanan Acharani that you have nothing to worry about in regards to Tumah. Ella, but there was one issue, Shestamu Ashmarim, that there was sediment that had closed up the hole, but at the end of the day, and that's why it was still moist, but you showed that you didn't want that the moisture, and therefore it won't be enough for it to create tumah. It's not, and we learn in Edius, Chovish Shel Zayis Migugol and Beis Shammai Omrim Ein Tzrich Lenakev Ubisel Omra Tzrichim Lenakev Umodim Sheim Nikva V'Stamo Shmorim Shei Taira, and everybody agrees that it's tar. Va'afalpi Shetalmid Shammai Hayu Kol Ma'iz. Afalpi Shetalmid Shammai Hayu. Despite the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri was a Talmud of Shammai, explains Rebbe Tzadok why he's telling him that there was a hole in here, even though according to Beis Shammai you don't even need to put a hole. However, lo also elikid divrei Beis Hillel, kol ma'aseh lo also elikid divrei Beis Hillel. He followed the opinion of Beis Hillel. So Rabbi Yochanan Acheroni, Rabbi Tzadok, made sure that the olives were okay, even according to Beis Hillel. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan Acheroni, despite the fact that it was a Talmid of Beis Shammai, followed Beis Hillel. But analyzes the Gemara, Iyamrit b'shlema asu, if you're going to say that the Talmidim of Shammai generally follow the opinion of Beis Shammai, so then Hainu Ribusei, that's what Rabbi Tzadok was teaching, that despite the fact that Rabbi Yochanan generally followed the opinion of Beis Shammai because he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, but he was also always choshesh for the shittas of Beis Hillel, Eli Iyamrit lo asu mai Ribusei. But if you're going to say that he didn't do it, he didn't follow Beis Shammai. Of course, if you don't follow Beis Shammai, you have to follow Beis Hillel. You can't follow nobody. So then what is the Chiddush? Must be that they followed Beis Shammai. They followed the opinions of Beis Shammai practically, like we saw going all the way back to the top of Yudalid Amud Aleph, the opinion of Shmuel. This the Gemara leaves as a proof that they followed the opinion of Beis Shammai. Tashma, another proof. Sholos Rabbi Yoshua, Tzaras HaBasmahu. Now we get back to our sugya, the sugya of Tzaras HaBas. And what did we learn? Of course, we learned in the Mishnah on the bottom, Yugimel Amud Aleph, that Tzaras HaBas, according to Beis Hillel, the Tzara is Aser to do Yibum with, and she's Mutal Shuk, while Beis Shammai holds there's a mitzvah to you do Yibum with her. According to Beis Hillel, if they do Yibum, the children become Mamzerim. Tzaras HaBasmahu, Amaleh Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Halacha Kedivrei Mi. When they ask Rabbi Yeshua, he says, "Machlekes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel," and they ask him, "What's Halacha?" Amaleh Mipnei Ma Atem Machnisin Roishi Bein Shnei Harim Gedolim. Why are you putting my head in between these two massive mountains? Bein Shnei Machlekes Gedolos Bein Beis Shammai Beis Hillel Misyare Ani Shema Yerutzu Gilgalasi. I am afraid that they're going to break my skull when they find out that I paskin like Beis Hillel. In other words, the moment that he's going to paskin like Beis Hillel, so he's going to make all of Beis Shammai's descendants mamzerim. So what do you see? You see that they actually followed that psak. Continues Rabbi Yoshua, avani meid lachem al shtei mishpachos gedol shel Yerushalayim. I'll tell you that there are two great mishpachos in Yerushalayim, mishpachas Beis Tzvuim mi ben akamoy, u mishpachas Beis Kufoy mi ben mikoshesh, shem bnei tzaros. Umehem Kohanim Gedolim. They are descendants of Tzaros, and they have Kohanim Gedolim. V'shimshu agabim Mizbeach, and they served on Mizbeach, despite the fact that according to Beis Hillel, you would say that they're Mamzerim. Iyamit B'shlema Asu analyzes the Gemara, if we're going to say that practically the Beis Shammai did as they had suggested. Hainu dekarmim misyarani. Eli Iyamit lo Asu amai karmim misyarani. Unhi nami de Asu my misyarani. Says the Gemara, and even if they did it, is it really a concern? What does he have to be afraid? Hamar Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua's own sheet is a mamzer on the chayve b'isas bezdin, that these would not be mamzerim, because Rabbi Yeshua's sheet that we're going to have later on in Tesam and Aleph is that the only time that you have mamzerim is if it's a marriage that's prohibited by chayve misas bezdin, and an iser eishes achiz nisher kares, not an iser misas bezdin. And why did Rabbi Yeshua even? Why was he even worried that the Beis Shammai would be so angry at him? Says the Gemara, "Nihinam imam zelo have, pogum miya have." Despite the fact that there would be no mamzeris, but it would still be a pogum. Mikal v'chomer me'almana, from a kal v'chomer in regards to the iser of almana l'koyin gadol. Ma almana sheni sur noig b'chol b'na. The almana, in generally, is not someone that's osur to most people, and most of her offspring are going to be fine. Pagamzu, but if she marries a kohen gadol, her child is a chalal and can't marry into the kuhuna. Zu, she sura shava bechal. But this, the case of a tzara who creates children who are a pagum, so then, certainly then, you would say that it was a pagum. Mer now points out something interesting about this give and take with Rabbi Yoshua. Kaboi mine Tzaros. The shaila that was asked to Rabbi Yoshua was halacha about Tzaros Habas, whether you could get married or not. They called Pashatle B'nei Tzaros. And he discussed the psak and the issue and the challenge and the tension in regards to the descendants of a Tzara that did Yibum according to Beis Shammai, whether they're Mamzerim. So says the Gemara, Tarta Kabim Boine. both shailas were asked to him, both in regards to the tzara itself, getting married, as well as the children. And it went like this. Tzaris mai. What's halach in regards to the tzara doing yivam? Vim tim tzalam er tzaris ki beis hillel. If you're going to say that we follow beis hillel, according to the Bach, the next girsa would be the beis hillel beis shammai mao. What is beis hillel going to do with, what is beis shammai going to do with the phenomenon that now we have to follow the opinion of beis hillel? In other words, if we're going to say that the halach is that she's muteras l'shuk, but at the end of the day, lebeis shammai mao, according to beis shammai, this tzara is asur to the shuk. So what's beis shammai going to do? To which the Gemara then clarifies, but we pass like beis hillel. So we don't care so much according to beis shammai, lemai nafkamina. What nafkamina does it have? Explains Rashi for those who follow beis hillel. Lemifshat vlad machzir grushasa lebeis hillel. You'll have a similar type of case, just like according to beis shammai. You're going to have an instance where you have an iser of the tzara l'shuk, where she gets married. So now her offspring, we have a question about. Similarly, vlad machzir grushasa lebeis hillel. Maybe we could be poshate the shayla vlad machzir grushasa lebeis hillel. So let's take a look at Rashi who explains. Lemifshat vlad machzir grushasa, about 20 lines from the bottom. Bishaniseis la'acher, if Reuven divorces his wife, and then she marries someone else. So it's Leah goes and marries someone else. Then they violate an Iser, and after she gets divorced from her second husband, she goes back and remarries Reuven. Then that's not allowed, but that's done. V'chzira v'yodelo bas. And then they had a daughter. Also abas mahi l'kohanim l'beis hillel. What would the daughter of that relationship be in regards to marrying a kohen? And whatever the halacha by Shammai from the Bnei Tzaros, nishma the Beis Hillel, the same halacha would apply to Machzir Grushaso Davinami Chayve Lavin, because both of those cases are Chayve Lavin. So the Gemara tries to attempt that shaila, and the Gemara says like this. It's five lines from the bottom of Tezvav and Beis. Mikam Rina Kavachomer. Don't we have a Kavachomer? Uma Amanu Kohen Gadol Sheini Sura Shavu Bechol. If you have an almana that has a relationship with a Kohen Gadol, that her children generally are fine. Only if she marries a Kohen Gadol is b'na pogum. Zushi sorya shava b'chol. This, where there is a prohibition for her to marry everybody, in other words, the Yivama l'shuk, according to Beis Shammai, that if you have the tzara who's also l'shuk, enudin she b'na pogum, you would say it's a kal v'chomer that her child be a pogum. O dilma, or would you say, no, it's different. Ikal mifrach, Mala almana she atzma mischaleles. The almana herself did a maisa of isur by marrying the Kohen Gadol. Pasuk says that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to take an almana. So there was an isur that's done. In contrast to this woman, the Gemara doesn't spell this out, nor the Rashi, but presumably, in contrast to the tzara of Beis Shammai, Nebuch, she didn't do anything wrong. The halacha follows Beis Hillel. In practice, you have to follow Beis Hillel. To which Rabbi Yeshua responds, V'amarlu Rabbi Yeshua responds, Tzaros misyareani. In regards to Tzaros, I'm scared to be machriya lahalacha, because the Tzaros of Beis Shammai, who now did an Isser and now posel l'kuhuna, I don't want to paskin on them about the above Shaila. However, B'nei Tzaros ani meid lechem. However, I will testify for you, as we saw above, that B'nei Tzaros, that the Klal Yisrael were mekabel them. In other words, explains Rashi, the B'nei Tzaros of Beis Hillel, that did not do Chalitza or Yibum, Klal Yisrael was mekabel them. That's how Rashi learns, that they were kosher, even Tosas adds, even according to Beis Shammai, and hence they were able to do the Avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. And we should not passel them from a Kal V'chomer of Almana l'Kohen Gadol. Some add that we see from here that there also wouldn't be a psul of Vlad Machzir Grushaso in regards to being Pogum l'Kohuna. This concludes Daf Tezvav. Let's do a quick review. We saw on the bottom of Yudalid Amid Beis the fascinating machlokis between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in regards to the offspring of a tzara, and the problem that according to Beis Shammai, if you follow the halacha of Beis Hillel, that the offspring would be a pogum, and that will make the offspring asur l'kuhuna, to which the Gemara raises that it could a big back and forth of whether we follow the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. Historically, what happened that we had in Yudalad Amud Aleph, whether Beis Shammai actually had their children from offsprings of Sarah or not. Gemara brought many, many brises that seems to say that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, despite their arguments and despite the fact that the Gemara in Erevin on Daf Yugimel and Beis tells us that we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, there was a baskol that came out. Nevertheless, prior to the baskol, there were the offsprings of Beis Shammai that followed the opinion of Beis Shammai, and the Gemara rejects that because, as Rashi bears out on the top of Tesvav Amud Beis, because of the fear of Los Iskodu, Los Asa, Agudas, Agudas, and the only time that they did follow the opinion of Beis Shammai was when there wasn't a fear of Los Asu, Agudos, Agudos. However, the Gemara questions that on the top of Tesvav Amud Beis. It seems that there were times that they did follow the opinion of Beis Shammai. And it is an interesting question of Los Asu, Agudos, Agudos. We also said that for the halacha from the Daily Daf, maybe we'll try to do Tosis's issue, that just to simply follow the stringent positions of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is not acceptable, because that's a kiksil haholech bechoshech. And finally, Rabbi Yoshua on Tezvav Amud Beis in a famous brisa used the famous expression mipnei matem achnisin roshi bein harim hagdolim, that he did not want to get involved with what the status of a child who was a tzara for an erva, whose mother was a tzara for the erva, and the mother followed Beis Hillel. What would Beis Shammai say about those children, whether they're pogum, and what would Beis Shammai say about the tzara herself? Is she now asur l'kuhuna? Ultimately, Rabbi Yoshua says that the tzara herself he doesn't want to get involved with, but that we had seen that Klal Yisrael had accepted even Beis Shammai, that those who had not done chalitz or yibum, who were b'nei hatzara, that they had done avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, and the offspring were not considered pogum l'kuhuna. And the Gemara seems to suggest the same would apply for someone who violates the isra machzir grushaso, so that in such a case, the child would not be pogum, and the offspring, the descendants, would not be pogum l'kuhuna. This Beis Hashem concludes Daf Tezvav in Maseches Yevamos.